meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from a little cave on a tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened and a vision was revealed. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing in the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it has always been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let us now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together, we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey everybody, and welcome. A good Monday.
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday.
Hooray.
Happy, hooray.
Hooray.
Is it Monday, really?
Yes.
Who is the clean-shaven, the guy with the clean-shaven
face? The guy
face
with the baby face?
That's me.
You look like you lost about 10 years of your life.
I aged 10 years.
No. You look young. You got a baby face.
Baby face.
You don't tell a man he's got a baby face.
You don't tell a grown man he's got a
baby face. Oh, I'm sorry. I meant it as a compliment. You look younger.
There he goes.
I'll take that.
That's like you
get that a lot too, so you know.
You get that a lot too.
So I get that a lot.
Yeah, I never liked that, you know, when it used to be said to me too.
Well, I would never say that to you.
Oh, no.
No, never.
Well, not now, but I mean, you know, I'm talking about when I was a baby.
I remember being,
you know, like maybe a year and a half, and somebody said that to me, and I took offense to that. Ooh. In my crib.
What did you do, bite him?
Crib. It kept me traumatized. Traumatized. Anyway,
I'm still traumatized.
No, you know, to be truthfully, and to be this truth to be spoken, truth to be said, because I know how offensive it was to me when somebody would, as a young boy or
young
teenager,
lad.
And somebody would say, "Oh, he's so cute." You know, I took offense to that. I didn't like that.
Aww.
So I never say that. Right. To a young boy or a teenager, you know. Or
I guess it doesn't bother me. I've had worse things said to me. Yeah.
Well.
Maybe the way the girl says it, oh, he's cute, like when they say he's attractive, he's cute. Maybe it depends on how you say it.
With the ladies.
Anyway, how was your sojourn
in
California?
It was nice and, I don't know. It was nice and not nice.
Uh-oh.
That's the reality. That's life.
I'm happy to be back.
Yeah. We missed you, Tony.
I really missed.
We missed you.
Going there.
Yes.
I thought you liked it over there. I was afraid that maybe you weren't going to come back. Mm-hmm. Or that you were going to come back and say, you know what, we're going to relocate
to
California.
Well, for me, it was kind of bittersweet because the last time, well, we go to, there's like two or three places in California where Angelica's aunts are.
Aunts or aunties.
But I haven't been, because we went to Oakland, and I haven't been there since, which makes it the bad part.
Yeah.
One of Angelica's aunts' daughter was killed a while ago. And it was.
Oh yeah.
Sad.
It was
the
sad
memories,
being there.
Sure.
But it was beautiful. I mean, for people. I mean, I never had a big family.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I have a very small family.
Right.
But to feel the love is wow. I just
yeah.
I was humbled. I was humbled.
Even now.
Wow. That's priceless.
That's priceless. I can't even put it into words. It's just, it's when people don't have and they give you everything they have.
Sure.
It's great. And one of Angelica's aunts cooks very we were fed.
That's
well,
great. No, that's good.
You were well taken care of.
Well taken care of.
Well, that's good.
And those memories come back too because, you know.
I hope that goodness and that love rubs off on you.
Exactly.
Don't expect miracles.
Man, like I said, it's just joking. I am humbled.
No, sure. It really is.
It just,
But they're beautiful. They're humble people.
Really? Yeah.
But that's good. And so you're all over California. And
yeah.
Did you have anything to drink, like water? I mean, just plain water.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting. No.
No.
Because
there was no
water.
Water
is, well, I don't know. For me, because I kept hearing that, and, you know, I know that there's no rain. For me, I took it upon myself not, but you'd go into restaurants, and it's like they're oblivious.
If they're drinking water.
Right, they're drinking water, and it's, I just, you know, to conserve because they don't have.
Yeah.
So. I drank a lot of beer.
Was it?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Was it real brown? The grass was burnt brown.
Yeah, it was in places.
It looked like hay.
Yeah.
I was listening to how they were taking ocean water and they were refining it, and then that stopped automatically. Wow. So I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's like you take those things serious when you say there's a drought, and you can almost see it.
No, no, sure. And, I worked in Southern California many years ago, and I remember the summer was everything was dry. Yeah. And that's why they had the fires all the time. This was in Southern, did I say Southern California?
Right? Yes, you did.
In the San Bernardino Valley and out there in that neck of the country, or those neck of the woods. But everything was, during the summer, it's just everything is brown. So anyway, we're happy to have you back, Tony. We missed
Thank
you.
Thank you. I'm happy to be back.
Tony.
Sincerely, we
I
missed you.
I couldn't get my fix. One day I was trying to get the show in, Mr. Technology, and I couldn't. All I could do, you know, and that's something I got to talk to somebody about that. I can never get this show live. I can get it on the download afterwards.
Got to talk to Nick over there.
Yeah, I'm going to talk to Nick. Somebody's got to teach me how to do this.
No. That's I don't know. You couldn't get it live. I mean, unless you do it via the computer.
Right. Yeah. There's a way you can listen.
You might have been
live.
Out because you were away. You might have been out of the broadcast range from
when. Well, he was way out.
I was way out.
Yeah, he was the other side.
But I thought there's an icon you can click and listen to it live. Like when I go to the website, I see that, and I've tried to do that here, but for some odd reason, I get it when it's already over.
I think we're only in. Maybe 22 countries, and he was in California.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Still the same country. No, I'm just kidding.
I know, I'm just joking.
No, I mean, he might have had tech problems. You can ask me about that later.
Yeah.
The problem was probably me, because I'm not really highly technical.
Anyway.
Or I just had a thought, if you're on California time, too.
Yeah.
Because
California
as well. Because
no, I knew it.
That's why you were late.
Sure.
No,
I
knew the time difference. It's just that, again, when I tried, I felt bad on Wednesday because usually I'm here with Father Coys, and I freaked out. I said, oh, he's going to have nobody here.
Right.
So actually I tried to listen live to see, you know, what he would say.
He was all by himself.
Right. But then I downloaded your Tuesday show, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, it was good.
I don't know. Were we on last
week? We were. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tomorrow we'll have a repeat, I think, because I've got...
Tomorrow there's a repeat and Friday and Monday.
Exactly.
So if Darlene, if you're listening, now you know. Everything's okay.
My Darlene. My cousin.
Oh, by the way, I want to thank Steve and Marky for their hospitality. If you're listening, Marky, thank you so much.
Yeah, so they invited you, but they didn't invite me.
I missed.
No, it was wonderful. They
did you guys have a nice time?
Yes, we did. It's a beautiful home. It's by the lake. Very peaceful.
Good times.
The sun was out. The breeze. She has this large hammock. It was... like a little taste of heaven, and I could just hear the leaves, the wind, the breeze, and the birds. Wow. They have all kinds of birds over there that were singing.
Beautiful. They're in the country.
They're in Antioch. Yeah, it's pretty much out there.
Country.
It's beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah, they should come into Chicago from time to time now, don't you think? They only come in once a year anymore.
Mm-hmm.
What does it take to come into Chicago?
Not that much.
I mean, this is they have their roots here. This is their home.
That's right.
But they choose not to. So people are like that, you know. So
you're listening, Mark.
You know she's listening.
And you know she's listening.
That's all right. So they invited you.
Yes. Yes.
Again.
Well, they asked about your father. They said when his father coming.
Asked about me. Yeah. Sure.
When they said when his father coming.
Yeah. No. I'm just joking. We had a. It's always busy. They know. People
always,
know not to ask me to go anywhere because I'm not going to go anywhere.
They're not going to go anyway.
All right. Well, Geraldine, you had a nice weekend. I know. I can tell.
Father.
You know.
Yes.
Because you're quiet today, and you're not complaining, and Nick is with us and doing well. Okay. A lot to talk about today, really. To be honest, I don't want to waste any time on foolishness. Talking about Tony's vacation to California and Christina's excursion or whatever did they call it, excursion, mm-hmm. Yes. Antioch.
Yes.
Antioch.
Marky says she's fickle as a pickle.
Fickle as a pickle.
And Darlene got the message, so she said thanks for listening.
These people really talk. You see, nobody talks to me. Everybody is. Anyway, I just sent this to Ken anyway, her, Darlene's husband. But I just, I don't know, Tony, if you know, you were out of the country. In California, out of the
you
country.
You were La La Land over
out
there.
Out of the country. La La Land. Yes. So a lot happened while you were gone, you know.
Right. So bring me up to speed.
Right. Well, I tell you, you know, last week the Supreme Court
what
decided.
What did you do, Father?
I didn't do anything, okay. You know. I'm trying to, in a prudent way, know how to react to these things, but. Actually, I had kind of fun this morning because I was writing the letter.
It's a good letter.
It's
yes.
For the bulletin, so I want to share that because it just kind of, here we go. One,
I didn't say anything.
One time. Yeah. But
I did hear that last week, too,
did
by
you?
The way.
What do you mean you heard it?
The kinda.
Well, I was cutting it.
And then everybody was saying it.
Yeah, but I really.
it's much different when you're listening. Trust me.
I'm cutting down on that, though, mm-hmm. kind of, you know, and.
But I kind of heard that.
No, but I pick it up now when other people use it, and I realize it's very
everybody
common.
Uses
yeah,
it.
Sure.
Even on the TV, they use it a lot.
They do it.
So don't feel
use
bad.
It well. Yeah, no.
You've
well.
Led the parade.
Well, no, I want to be above that. I don't want to be just like everybody. I want to be above that, you know? Be perfect. Perfect. Anyway, so, but really, you know, this is the winds have changed, you know? So last week, I don't know if you know, Tony, but the Supreme Court decided... Or they made the decision to redefine marriages as the law of the nation, mm-hmm. the law of the nation. And subsequently, there were celebrations, you know, throughout the country, as we all know. The White House was just beautifully, let me just go through the beautifully, beautifully, beautifully aglow with the colors of the rainbow flag.
Mm-hmm.
And millions of people from every age, gleefully, very happily, joyfully, gaily, lining the streets of the nation, for a display of anything
mm-hmm.
goes, marking a new era. And this is truly, think about this. Now, what's coming up on this weekend, on Friday, is Independence Day, right? Mm-hmm. And so we're marking a new era of independence mm-hmm. for the nation. And at long last, we can say, really, at long last, liberation from the binding force of Christianity
mm-hmm.
has been achieved. The United States can breathe more freely now. The tyranny of Christianity has been dealt a blow from which the church should not be allowed to recover.
Mm-hmm.
The nation is free now from the Christian indoctrination of the young in the laws that restrict their personal pursuit of life, liberty, and happiness. And it took 219 years, can you imagine, for the nation to evolve, but at long last, the goal is achieved. And so what? Let the symbols of tyranny be banned from the land, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let the stars and the stripes of the American flag be burned and buried for having bound the nation under one God.
Mm-hmm.
That this nation was bound under one God for 219 years. Let us raise high the colors of the rainbow flag, right? As a symbol of liberation from all gender distinctions and all other barriers to the free exercise of personal wants and desires. And really, to the applause of many, this independence was evident in the rainbow parade.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As some of the parade participants donned mockingly, really in a very mocking way, the religious garb of the bishops, the priests, and the nuns, as writing, "Ding dong, the church is dead, the church is dead, the church is dead, ding dong, the merry oh, sing it high, sing it low, let them know the church is really dead," right?
Mm-hmm.
No, really, the United States has entered a new era of independence. Having liberated itself really from the laws of God, the conscience of the nation is appeased and free to choose its path forward. And the choice has been made. And the nation has exchanged the truth of God for a lie and revered and worshiped the creature rather than the Creator. So the land of the brave and the free is no longer brave nor free. It's an illusion. It's an illusion. The land of the brave and the free. Is that a motto or something? That's when we think of, you hear that, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
America, the land of the brave and the free.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in response to the Supreme Court decision to redefine marriage as a law of the nation, the Archbishop of Chicago, Blaise Cupich, mm-hmm. he calls us to mature in serene reflections as we move forward together. He also said the Catholic Church will stand ready to offer wisdom rooted in faith and a wide range of human experience. Now, to me, this is a rather polite response to an unprecedented change to the sacred institution of marriage, you know? And just think, with the exception of Judas Iscariot, who betrayed the Lord, and John, who alone remained faithful to the Lord on the Via Dolorosa, all the apostles of the Lord were martyred, all of them. And this nefarious agenda of activists to redefine marriage should awaken the church, compel the church to defend unambiguously the full counsel of God in a merciful way, in a loving way, but with the full weight of truth, with the full weight of truth. The end result will leave us further, we're going to be further maligned and marginalized, there's no doubt about it. And as a nation, you know, cowardly enslaves itself in the reign of the flesh, Christianity may become anew the faith of the brave and the free, really, you know, because we got to prepare ourselves, you know, for, somebody said, you know, that, and people I've been reading all kinds of commentaries, all kinds of things, and some are saying, and even the archbishop said, this has no impact on holy matrimony, the sacrament of holy matrimony, but it does.
Oh, come on.
Yes, come on, Jerry. Can you believe that?
No, I don't believe that.
I mean,
Hello.
I was, you know, anyway, but I think we've got to heed the charge. In fact, even in the Bible and in the Scripture, it's the solemn charge of St. Paul to those who remain faithful to God. He says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingly power, proclaim the word, be persistent, whether it is convenient or inconvenient, convince, reprimand, encourage to all patience and teaching, for the time will come. The time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine, but following their own designs or their own desires and insatiable curiosity will accumulate teachers who will stop listening to the truth and will be diverted to myths. But you be self-possessed in all circumstances, put up with hardship, perform the work of a disciple, and fulfill your service in the Lord. I think as Pope Benedict challenged us during his papacy, that the church must exercise her prophetic office, and the nation must know that the prophetic utterance of God is among us. And as a result, people are going to be offended, and we're going to suffer. But this is the way it is. We're not in Kansas anymore, you know? Ding dong. I like that ding dong. The church is dead. The church is dead. The church is dead. Right?
Yeah.
Ding dong, oh Mary, oh sing it. I had to look that up to see how that song went. But it's ding dong, the Mary, oh sing it high, sing it low. Let them know the church is really dead. That's what it felt like to me, you know, especially with the celebration, with all the celebration and all that. In the meantime, at the same time, let me just say, and I just talked to somebody this morning. At the same time, somebody came to my office this morning, just really sorrowful about what is happening to the Christians in the Middle East, the atrocities, and where, you know, it just think of this, you know, people. Really, we got to put things in perspective, and get out of your mind this idea that, you know, we're, I have to always say this because it comes back right away. Well, why do you deprive people of loving and why do we not like, or why do we, you know, hate? This is, you know, as I said yesterday at the Masses, and I mentioned, I mean, we are first and foremost, sinners. We have disorder in life, each and every one of us. Jesus said, somebody took offense to this, and maybe I mentioned this last week, but when I say that we are sinners and we're sick, and I say it a lot because it's the truth.
Yeah.
And somebody says, but you know, you that's condescending, that's diminishing. You know? Well, Jesus said, I come for the healthy, for the sick, for the healthy, but for the sick, not for the saint, but for the sinner. The point being is that, you know, as I say all the time, there's certain sickness in the mind. It's part of the affliction that comes in living in this world. That's why we're not condemned to be here forever. That's why we have to drag ourselves out of bed in the morning, because there's going to come at some point in the course of a day some sickness to the mind. Yeah. Am I wrong?
No.
Some sickness to the body. Some sickness to the soul, to the spirit. And yesterday I suggested, and can we humbly admit that there's some sickness in our sexuality as well? sickness and sexuality.
Yeah. See, the world tells us different.
Completely opposite.
And it's interesting you say this because I was gone, but I had no access to any kind of news. But someone came up to me and said, finally, my family can get married.
Yeah.
And I didn't know if that was a pick at me, because what I wanted to say is pretty much, Father, what you just said. And I think the common person, that's the way they see it.
Because we've been indoctrinated
exactly.
in such ways. It's been as I say, Swat, we're under the dominion of feelings. Mm-hmm. What we feel.
Exactly.
We're losing our capacity to reason.
But it is interesting. It is interesting how someone can say, this is what the church does to us. But no, we've been going through the same kind of thing for other things.
What the church does.
The church indoctrinates us this way. But look, we've been being prepared for this for a while.
Well,
now.
You've got to decide who's under what and under whose indoctrination.
Exactly, all the time.
Who is a teacher? You know, God is. You see, the thing is, and this is why I mentioned in this with the new independence, the nation, America's new independence. We, as I quoted St. Paul there about, you know, we've exchanged the creature for the creator.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, so if God isn't the starting point, and if we're not, what is it? You know, but what are the parameters within which we live? How do we define who we are and what we're supposed to do? You know, it's been the nation was built on the foundation of the Judeo-Christian law, you know, the laws of God, the Ten Commandments, we have the Ten Commandments, we have the teachings and the life of Jesus Christ, who takes us well beyond the commandments of God. It doesn't take away the commandments of God, but he takes us beyond that, above it and beyond it. In other words, we're called to high virtue, heroic sacrifice, really, the faith that requires of us heroic sacrifice, and we have the magisterial teachings of the church. We have the whole of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So this is how we, by tradition, have identified ourselves as a nation, as a people. Well, now that's not the case. That's gone, basically, for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, this is a major shift. This is a major deviation from the full counsel of God, and to say that keep it focused on one individual or individuals or a minority as I mentioned yesterday, everybody has to make sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Nobody. Is free to just do well. We're free to do whatever we want. So if we give free rein to the flesh,
mm-hmm.
then as St. Paul said, the flesh of its very nature will lust against the spirit and produce all kinds of bad things. If we live under the dominion of the Spirit of God, which would be the commandments of God, the teachings mm-hmm. of Jesus, the very life of our Lord, you know, as the Lord is ever present among us and within us. Under the teachings of the church, which have the guarantee. By the way, today is a feast of Saint Peter and Paul.
Mm-hmm.
You are Peter, and upon this I say to you. He says, "Who do you say that?" It boils down to this: who do we say that he is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who do we say that he is? And if we can collectively, as a people, identify who Jesus is, then we understand that we're bound. We've got an obligation to live. According to this is God who has revealed himself.
Yes.
Now, we reject that as a people. We reject that. So then there's, you know, there's all kinds of possibilities. Mm-hmm. So it goes back to the question, who's going to do the indoctrination? Mm-hmm. If we, as a people, we decide we're going to be indoctrinated by the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who has revealed himself in Jesus, will be under this is how we will indoctrinate, because go back to the book Deuteronomy. Here are the laws given by God,
mm-hmm.
and they're written into your hearts, mm-hmm. into the hearts of all people, not just those of the covenant, but all people. And you know, if you're true to these laws, if you obey these laws, and again, we're sinners, so we're always in need of God's mercy.
Yes.
And this is where we help each other. We says, no, okay, but this is okay. So you've deviated. I was just thinking about this the other day too. You know, that has the church ever refused anybody? You can confess mm-hmm. every day. If you want
mm-hmm.
the same sin every day, and you're going to be, certainly if you come to my confession, you're not going to be scolded. You know, it's going to say, oh, pick yourself, let's get up. Pick yourself up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, God is the stability here. God is our faith, the faithful one. God is mercy. And if you have sincerity of heart and you desire to do what is right and good, but you're afflicted, you're conflicted, your weakened state is such that, you know, you fall into the same sin day after day after day. And who of us doesn't, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If it's even, you know, a bad thought, or it's, you know, that, you know, in a moment of stress and tiredness, I'm swearing in my mind, or maybe I swear out loud, but to the wall. Hopefully I'm not swearing to anybody. You know, but you get the point
that
I'm saying.
Oh, yes.
Or we become late, you know, or whatever it may be. It doesn't matter. It's the point is that, you know, it's we're here to we're a reconciling community. It's mm-hmm. a community. It's the mystical body of church, the mystical body of Christ, a church that is here to keep lifting us up, lifting us up, lifting us up. Again, this is as the Pope said, really basically taking from the scripture, I've already said it, Jesus says, I come not for the healthy, but for the sick, not mm-hmm. for the saint, but for the sinner. And the Pope reminded us that the church is a hospital for sinners, mm-hmm. or for the sick, rather. Then this is the reality. But we have to humbly recognize that there is sickness. But see, this is the grave sin today. As I said yesterday at Mass, you know, mm-hmm. that, you know, looking at the people and looking at myself, I pointed to myself as I always said, if I stand here and say to you, I say, you are a sinner. I am a sinner. You are sick. You have sickness. I have sickness. You have disorder in your life. I have disorder in my life. There's disorder in your family. There's disorder in my family. To say that in this highly hyper, super sensitive society, that's an offense.
Mm-hmm.
How dare you? Mm-hmm. How dare you? And yet, isn't that what Jesus says?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He says, so I'm the supreme, teacher, the supreme, mm-hmm. The divine physician,
mm-hmm.
the redeemer. I'm coming to lift you up.
Yes.
I'm coming to lift you up, to help you to stay on that path so that you can, so that the best in you can come out of you, mm-hmm. not to leave you to wallow in selfishness and greed. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we'll take a break. We'll come back, and I want to go to the, because quite interestingly, tomorrow is the interesting story from Genesis of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, that's quite interesting, you know.
Wow.
I want to mm-hmm. let's look at that, because it's not about, I'm going to say this now before the break, it's not about, strictly speaking, it's not about homosexuality.
No.
At the same time, I'm not going to be a liberal exegete who says, mm-hmm. you know, it's only about lack of hospitality. That's how you hear this.
No.
It's all about just lack of hospitality. Mm-hmm. Get real. Come on. Let's be honest. But it's not about, strictly speaking, it's not about homosexuality. Mm-hmm. It's part of it. But we'll come back. We'll look at that. And then look at, very interestingly, Paul's letter to the Romans, because it's very an eye-opener. And certainly to speak these words publicly these days would, you know, because what's going to happen eventually, I suspect, is the Bible will be prohibited reading.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Prohibited.
Right. Sure.
It'll be a book that will be banned.
Mm-hmm.
It'll
mm-hmm.
be banned. We'll see. Anyway, we'll be right back, and don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Lucid Support of Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Winds of Change broadcasts from the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy at the historic St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, located two blocks north off Division on Noble at the Division Street exit off the Kennedy. Since 1867, St. Stanislaus Kostka Church has been serving the faithful of Chicagoland since 1867. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, can continue its mission to bring Christ to His people. Please donate now by going to sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. And click on the donations link to make a secure donation with a major credit card or debit card. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, will continue its restoration and will continue to thrive for the body of Christ.
celebrating our nation's birthday and the unalienable rights bestowed on us by our Creator. This is the Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Hey, my name's Louis, and I'm the official taster for the Taste of St. Stan's. And I took time out to tell you what's going on because I didn't want to talk with my mouth full, because my mom told me it'd be impolite. Go figure. At the Taste of St. Stan's, Sunday, August 2nd, from noon to 5, you can taste Hispanic, Polish, Asian, combination, and Chicago experience plates. Could be pizza, could be sausage, in that Chicago experience plate. Tasting's not the only thing you can do. There are kids' games, contests, and karaoke, even if you carry a tune in a bucket. $6 a plate, and the Chicago Experience plate is only $3. Come on down, bring a friend, Sunday, August 2nd, from noon to 5 p.m. on St. Stan's Church Grounds, Division and Noble. That's 2 blocks north on Noble, just off Division, just off the Kennedy Expressway. Taste of St. Stan, Sunday, August 2nd, noon to 5.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So we're still speaking about the Supreme Court decision to redefine marriage and all the... that's the law of the land. Mm-hmm. Now, this is very dramatic.
Father, you made a good point earlier about... that we have to humble ourselves. And yesterday we were in conversation with my mom, and she said, you know what's the worst? One of the worst sins is pride. And people are not humbling themselves. And it's interesting that they, what do they call the parade? Pride parade. Mm-hmm. What happened to Lucifer? Because of his pride, look where he's at. Very interesting.
Pride is the root of all sin. Mm-hmm. Humility is the beginning of virtue. Fear of mm-hmm. God. Fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Is the beginning of wisdom. Yeah. Humility is the, mm-hmm. the beginning of virtue. It's one has humility is the antithesis of pride, but it's the same. We will not serve. Mm-hmm. We're not going to serve. Mm-hmm. Rather than worship the Creator, we now worship the creature. We've mm-hmm. Decided as a nation, generally speaking, that this is the way it's going to be. And so yes, there's been an indoctrination. There's been an indoctrinate. We have to be indoctrinated some way or another, right? Mm-hmm. It's part of life. You know, you've got to teach something. Mm-hmm. And so we opt away from the Judeo-Christian indoctrination, and we choose that we're going to do it our way. You see? Mm-hmm. We're going to do it our way. But interestingly, this priest made reference to this, and I thought it was very, very interesting, because it is interesting that tomorrow is... the first reading in the liturgy tomorrow, and this will be read throughout the world, as it is, you know, every day, as we reflect on the scripture of the day at Mass. You know, the same scripture is being reflected on in Rome. The Holy Father is reflecting on the same scripture in Latin America, throughout the world. And tomorrow, the first reading is from the book of Genesis, chapter 19, 15 to 29, and it's the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Mm-hmm. And it's not simply because the city was full of homosexuality, you know, this is mm-hmm. the point that's being made. The homosexuality was a symptom of a deeper ugliness in Sodom and Gomorrah. The cities of the plain, Sodom and Gomorrah, they're in this very lush plain, very rich, very luxuriant. The kings of Sodom and Gomorrah were warlike, they were violent. Mm-hmm. Sodom and Gomorrah was an example of decadence, lust, luxury, greed, violence of the whole civilization. And so the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was far deeper than a sexual problem. The sexual problem was a symptom of a deep, stubborn rebellion against God and everything that was natural and simple, innocent, free, and good. So, you know, I speak so often about the diabolical disorientation. And, I mean, how can you say that this is not the case mm-hmm. yeah. today? I've made reference, and maybe, I speak to I'm in different settings with different people all the time. So it's like I go from one place to another to one, you know, even staying right here on the property. Mm-hmm. I've got so many, the six masses, plus on the weekdays and morning, evening, the radio, and then I'm speaking to people all the time. Mm-hmm. And so if I repeat myself, you know, forgive me, but I think it's important we're always repeating ourselves, mm-hmm. you know, because these are things that are very important to us. But so I've said, you know, it's so interesting, really, isn't it? I mean, think about this, just think about this, that you've got, or we had, what was it, 3 million young people in Brazil with Pope Francis, or go back to Madrid, I think there were 4 million something. Several million young people with Pope Benedict in Madrid. The pro-life march in Washington, D.C., one of the biggest marches, yes, I think I mentioned this the other day, one of the biggest marches, and it's deemed the most peaceful and the cleanest of all the marches of any protest
mm-hmm. yeah.
in Washington, and it's young people.
Mm-hmm.
It's mostly young people. The media doesn't give it attention.
No attention.
It's not a news item.
Nope.
It's not a news item. But the gay pride parade mm-hmm. is a
the
news
biggest.
Item.
Mm-hmm.
It's a news item.
Mm-hmm.
And literally millions come for these, mm-hmm. now all over the world, these, or at least in the West, these parades, the rainbow parade or the gay
the pride
parade.
Mm-hmm.
So, but isn't that, wouldn't you think, because today, certainly, you go to a high school in Chicago, and you've got guards, police, you've got metal detectors,
mm-hmm.
and many high schools, they give out condoms free. This was unheard of when I was going to high school. So, I mean, is that not some sign of the decadence of our society? Something has happened. Something has gone awry. The addictions today,
mm-hmm.
the addictions, the suicide,
mm-hmm.
the increase in suicide, all kinds of mental sicknesses.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to think about that. Think about that. St. Paul outlines the sick depravity of the Romans.
Mm-hmm.
In his first letter, this is his letter to the Romans, the first chapter of the letter to the Romans. And listen to what he says, because it's very telling. And think about the world we live in. Somebody asked, Geraldine was telling me the other day, yesterday as a matter of fact, and I couldn't get it quite understand if it was Pope Francis or Pope Benedict. First off, they said it was said this past week, Father Hillary told her about this,
mm-hmm.
that the Pope asked the question, what would the world be like without God?
Mm.
And then he answered the question. He said, well, just look at the world
yeah.
today.
That's mm-hmm. right.
And going back to the atrocities in the Middle East, I meant to go back to that. But, you know, in this person who came to my office
that
today,
Magojata. That was Magojata, because I mentioned it too in the morning.
Yeah. And she was just very saddened by what was going on. And she says, but, this is out for everybody to see. We've seen the beheadings, people being buried alive, crucifixions. Now what they're doing, they're lowering these the people in crates into the water to drown them alive, and they film the drowning.
Sure.
In the, you know, this is an these are atrocities. It's so hard to even comprehend that on one hand, people by the thousands, hundreds of thousands, when you consider over the last several years, have been brutally, barbarically tortured and put to death. Now, simultaneously, we're celebrating
mm-hmm.
this assault on the family,
mm-hmm.
as it's been understood, the sacred institution of marriage, the union of a man and woman, from this union comes forth life, children. So we assault this institution that precedes Christianity, precedes Judaism, that is written into the DNA of the human person, just as God has written into the DNA of the human person. And by the way, why this hostility against God and against the church? Because people know the truth. Mm-hmm. They know.
And they know that it's wrong. And you know, you were mentioning about the Christians, how they defend the faith and they don't reject God. And they're like the church, it was built on the blood of the martyrs. And these people are being martyred. Over here, we have the freedom of practicing our faith. And we're it's a disgrace. We're wasting it. And we're rejecting God flippantly. While these people are losing their lives in defense of the faith.
And so for us right now, what has to happen is we're being purged. Christianity has to be purged. The church has to be purged. As I mentioned, you know, the casual Catholicism, cultural Catholicism is dead. Casual Catholics are going to be absorbed into the secular culture. Anthony Kennedy wrote the... he's a Catholic, right?
Mm-hmm. You know?
But the... cafeteria Catholics. I spoke about that yesterday at the masses. I mentioned that last week. But I was reading something the other day about evangelical Catholicism. We've got to be evangelical Catholics. And what does that mean? I'm not referring to evangelicals, but evangelical Catholics mean that we have to know the gospel. Mm-hmm. We have to know the gospel. I mean, the gospel has to be primary to our prayer. Mm-hmm. And again, if we talk about the rosary is a gospel prayer. It's an evangelical prayer. But it really means cleaving to Jesus in the gospel. Because while this, as you said, is people are being martyred, people are being put to death, we're here putting to death the very principles and the values and the morality, the commandments upon which we build our lives, what gives us an identity and defines who we are and what's expected of us. And that means, again, sacrifice for everybody.
That reminds me of I'm sorry, Father, of Moses, when he came down with the tablets and the people were doing what we are seeing today. And he said, if you will not live by the law, you shall die by the law.
This is exactly what's going on.
This is what's happening.
Well, take a break. We'll come back and share with you the Paul's words to the Romans. In their own decadent time, a time of decadent behavior. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen and Support of Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
You've heard us say that Winds of Change is listener supported. That means you help us stay on the air with your dollars and your prayers. And we are asking for that help now. Please take a moment and go to our website, WindsOfChangeShow.com. That's WindsOfChangeShow.com. On the upper right-hand side of the page, there is a link. Support Winds of Change Show. Click on that link and donate securely with any major credit card. With your help, Winds of Change will continue to bring you the truth. Celebrating our nation's birthday and the unalienable rights bestowed on us by our Creator, this is the Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
The tradition continues. I'm Father Thomas Loya inviting you to Prairie Fest.
Friday through Sunday, August 7th through the 9th. Friday night at 7:30. Chicagoland's number one classic rock cover band, Aura. Then Saturday evening, August 8th at 7:30, Prairie Fest celebrates the British invasion with American English.
It was 20 years ago today, such a ripper of the band to play.
Prairie Fest kicks off Family Day Saturday afternoon at 2 with animal shows for kids, the Innisfree Folk Ensemble, followed by Harvest Moon. Sunday is Polka Day, beginning with Polka Generations at 11 a.m., the Polish Highlanders Dance Troupe, Eddie Carosa Jr., and the Czechoslovak Moravian Society Dancers. Prairie Fest also has a beer garden, food, children's games, church and prairie tours, $5,000 raffle, and more. Complete details for Prairie Fest are at the events link at ByzantineCatholic.com. ByzantineCatholic.com.
Prairie Fest, Friday through Sunday, August 7th through the 9th at Annunciation Parish, 14610 Wilcook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So I can't be as polite as the Archbishop, you know, as I want to, because I got to, this is, I say, you know, quoting these words of St. Paul to the Romans. Now, either we believe or we don't believe.
Yes.
In the word, the written word of God, as the church, I mean, the church is built on the foundation of the sacred scripture and sacred tradition, the magisterial teachings of the church. And so this is, and the church has the responsibility. Our bishops, the Pope, have a responsibility. This is the service they render to the people of God, is to safeguard and protect, right? As I said, the apostles were all but Judas, who betrayed the Lord, and John, of course, who was faithful to the very end. I mean, he was faithful. He went all the way to the foot of the cross. He wasn't martyred, but all the other apostles were martyred. The church was built on the blood of the martyrs. So as going back to the situation in the Middle East and in Africa and other parts of the world, as Christians are being martyred for their faith, and Muslims are killing Muslims as well, ISIS is just unbelievable. Talk about demonic.
Yes.
Totally demonic.
Yeah.
But as this is happening, as these people have been put to death, we, in fact, in our nation, are putting to death innocent life, the unborn, and we're bringing to its own demise. But you can't kill. I mean, it's just, you can kill the body. It's just, who said Jesus? Don't be afraid of those who can kill the body, but have fear of those who kill the soul.
Mm-hmm.
And the soul of the nation is being put to death.
Yes,
being put to death in a boisterous, arrogant, condescending way. And we're freaks. As Christians, we're freaks. St. Paul said. And to the Romans. Now think about this. The Vatican City is built on the cemetery where St. Peter is buried.
Right
over the tomb of St. Peter, directly under the cupola, under the baldacchino, under the altar, the main altar, directly under is the tomb of St. Peter. Just I believe it's the south. But as I'm looking at the Vatican, as I'm in the Vatican, as I'm at the altar, I'm looking to the right of the Vatican Hill was the Nero's Circus. 20-minute walk.
Yeah.
Along the river, you're at the ruins of the Empire. Everybody goes, right, to the Colosseum and to the ruins of the Empire, the Forum, the ruins of the Empire. So Paul is writing to these Romans. And he says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them. They know God. God know. It's all written into our hearts. It's in our DNA, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what it has been made, so that people are without excuse. In other words, the people, they have no excuse because they know.
Yeah.
For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him, the lack of humility, nor gave thanks to him. From where does life come? Who sustains us? What is our good end? So no thanks to God. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. This is Paul writing to the Romans. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. They exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being. Therefore, God gave them over to their sinful desires, the desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised, who is forever praised. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their error. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind so that they do what ought not to be done. Mm-hmm. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. Although they knew God's righteous decree that those who do such things would come to a bad end. They do not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't this a powerful?
Yes,
you can't make that up. I mean, I'm just listening to those words as if they were being, it was being, you know, today.
Yeah, it is.
It is today.
No, I mean, it was being written today.
No, exactly, sure.
How do you refute that? I mean, it's, and there are many that'll hear that and just, no, I will
because,
not
because
serve.
What's the attitude? What do I hear so often? Wow, this is all man-made.
Exactly.
This is all man-made. The laws, it's all man-made. See that once we take that position,
mm-hmm.
once we take that position, then what you got to let people, like, as I said, you know, the society has made a choice, mm-hmm. And so it's, you know, the future will be the judge. Now we're going to suffer.
Yes.
We're going to suffer. There's no doubt about mm-hmm. it. We will be maligned. We're going to be marginalized. We already are.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be looked upon as. But see, this is freaks. But see, this is where I say we've got to do, and this is the solution. And maybe we'll have to end here because we're coming to the end of the show. But what is the solution? So what do we do? I do have it here. So. I truly, the only thing we can, well, there's many things we can do, but we have to begin with what? We've got to, the solution to the problem is mysticism. That's allowing Jesus possession of our lives. We got to say, Lord, you've got to take possession of my life. I can't do what I can't do. As I say so often, this is what you've got to deal with. I say this every day, you know, in my mm-hmm. prayer. I said, here I am. I come to do your will. Speak, Lord. I'm here to listen. Yeah. And this is, I'm sorry to say, but this is who I am, and this is what you got to deal with. These are my quirks. These are my idiosyncrasies. These are my sins. These are my inclinations. This is my sickness. This is my, you know, this, in other words, to be able to honestly come before the Lord and say, this is who I am, and I give you possession of my life.
Yeah.
I give you possession because you are beauty. You are good. You are God. It's from you that I come. It's to you I go. It's in you that I've been created. And so I give you this. This is the beginning of, and do you think I'm calling myself a mystic? Yeah, I am. Mm. I'm a mystic. We should all be mystics. Yeah. Mystic isn't, we're not flying high. You understand? Mm. It's not flying, but it's being in the dirt of life, as I say so often. We're in the dirt of life. We're fighting the good fight. We get tired. We get beaten up. We get bloodied. We get battered. We get, you know, all this happens. But we keep our focus on God. And when we lose that focus, we know because we become accustomed to who he is. And so even though we don't see him, we come to him. And because we know, we've learned that he's not going to abandon, that he's closer to us than we are to ourselves. So this mysticism means giving God possession of our lives. Now, how do we do that? Because see, the thing is, we do have to be purged. I look at myself right now, based on all the stuff going on, and even more so, I come before the Lord and I say, you know, you got to purge me of my defects because I don't want to get in the way. Because people are looking for anything and everything to throw at us.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if they can point out our hypocrisy, if they can point out our bigotry, if they can point out our any kind of race, you know, we got to be free of all that. We got to be rid of all that. We've got to allow Jesus to take full possession of our lives. Give the potter the room to mold the clay. And that mysticism, this mysticism means transformation. It means that we can say, as St. Paul said, and this is the goal of our lives, that it is no longer I who live, but Jesus Christ who lives in me. So it's about, talking about evangelical Christianity, evangelical Catholics, or I should say evangelical Catholicism, It's being in the full possession, being fully possessed by God. The way that that happens, it's twofold, threefold. I should say three things. Number one, we've got to pray. We cannot without the Eucharist. Otherwise, we can be part of the 40,000 other denominational, Christians, and thank God they're our brothers and sisters in Christ. But we have to believe in the great gift that's been given to the church, the Eucharist. It's the Jesus among us. Jesus present to us, Jesus who wants to give himself to us, this encounter we have with the Lord in the Eucharist, not only in the Eucharist, but also to place ourselves before the Eucharist. Remember yesterday the gospel, the woman, she went to him and she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'm going to be saved. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be healed. She had been suffering for so many years. And everybody is pressing in on Jesus, and she touches, and Jesus says, somebody touched me. And the disciples said, everybody's touching you. Look at the crowds. He says, no. He says, somebody touched me. Somebody came to me in faith. Somebody touched me because I felt power go out of me. I see, being in the presence of the Eucharist, there's a power that comes from that Eucharist. We go in faith. So that's the one thing. The most important thing is we cleave to Jesus in the Eucharist, and we immerse ourselves in the gospel, in the Word of God. We've got to know that there's no excuse. Catholics must know the Word of God. There's the face of Jesus. There's his teachings. And then we must put ourselves under the solicitous care of the Holy Mother of God, the Mother of God, the Blessed Virgin. This is the way. Because we've seen the saints. Oh, my gosh, we've had Mother Teresa. We've had Pope John Paul II. We saw with our own eyes. The whole world saw. This is the thing that's so tragic today is we've seen. This is like St. Paul says, they've seen. It's when you think about that, they have plainly seen. They know that there's no excuse. We had 27 years of Pope John Paul II who went through the whole world to try to awaken, and people loved him, and they responded. But what has happened in a matter of 10 years from the time of his death? But we've seen the transformation, the charism, the beauty, the light, the wonder that comes when one is truly, humbly, and it requires humility, immersed in the very life of God, cleaving to Jesus, offering our lives to Jesus in the Eucharist, immersing ourselves in the Word of God, and placing ourselves under the solicitous care of the Mother of God. This is the solution. We're going to be maligned. We're going to be marginalized. We've got to be prophetic. The prophetic utterance of God has to be heard in the land today, in the nation today. Thanks so much for being with us, Almighty God. Almighty God bless you. I was going to say yes. Yes, that's what I want to say. I want to bless you. Thanks very much for being with us. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
Meaning